So the political spectrum, left and right. Yeah. Yeah, so we're rolling.
Oh, I thought you were going to do a
no.
An intro piece or intro bit.
Well, yeah, I will, but more like we can just, you know, I'll jump into that in a moment. I just wanted to hit the record button.
Okay, and, we're recording now.
Yeah, and hopefully since I didn't bring the headphones. Hopefully we're picking everything up and you guys can hear us. So I guess I'll do the intro real quick. This is episode 15 of Voices from the Dark. It's a new series, which I've been talking about, and it was under the working title of You Capitalist, but I figure that's a little too specific. So I decided today, actually. Today is what?
The 14th
of September, 2018, just in case you guys didn't know. I decided that a more general title would be better, so The Spectrum. So this is the spectrum number one of on Voices from the Dark. As usual, I'm going to make a couple announcements, but today I'm just going to try to keep it short. Last episode, I think I did like a six-minute blathering intro about whatever. So today, I'm just going to say to keep checking the website for updates on the new and continuing series that we got going on here, including this one, The Spectrum. And that's pretty much it. Look at that. That was probably
that was
less
nice
than
and
10
short.
Seconds. So on The Spectrum, we talk about, I've been mentioning to you that it's going to be about socialism, but really it's about the political spectrum, which is where that name comes from. And I have a guest with me today, a special guest, actually quite special but for many reasons, but I'm not going to say too much about her. She can introduce herself as usual. I like my guest to introduce himself. So,
nice.
Neo.
You can
say whatever you want.
Thank you for having me, Steve.
Yeah, of course.
Who
are you?
I am Neo Nicariani. I'm from New York. Actually, went to the same high school as Steve.
Yep. In the same
ninth grade
time.
Class.
Yeah, exactly. we were classmates the whole time for 4 years.
And we both live in Berlin, and we just had like a little reunion. Was it last week or so?
Two weeks ago? Yeah, a week and a half, something like that, yeah.
Yeah.
Thanks to Ira and his girlfriend, Christine.
Thank you, Christine. Yeah.
So, I mean, a lot of gratitude has to go to Christine just because she's the one who got Ira out here.
Yes. We're appreciative.
But yeah, so that's what I meant. It's a very special guest. She's basically...
I'm writing a thesis on political...
Also that, yeah.
Sociology. So I guess this is close to my heart.
Okay.
In some ways.
Okay, cool. And you can tell us more about that, as it relates to this, which I think we've had a conversation already when we let's say sort of first met in Berlin.
Yeah.
And which was just a week and a half ago. And the reason why I wanted you to be on the show is because you sort of actually gave me the direction for this show, which was to basically say that socialism, that, or as Americans call it, like a lot of Americans, including myself up to this point, mm-hmm. would say that socialism is like social programs and like a sort of welfare state, whereas here in Europe, and actually probably mostly everywhere else except for America, you would call it social democracy.
Right. I think that's kind of what the democratic socialist movement, or I guess it's, what is it, DSA?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Democratic Socialist
America. I think that's basically what they're trying to accomplish, is like it's social democracy.
Yeah.
And so we were talking about this a week and a half ago about, like, I was saying, like, why is it called democratic socialism in the United States when I really think they're advocating for like social democracy, which is what you have here in Germany and other European countries. I agree with the initiatives and like the points, but I don't understand the terminology, and I kind of think that the terminology is a little bit off-putting for a lot of people.
Definitely.
So that's kind of what we were talking about, but I'm still wondering, is there a real difference between like democratic socialism and social democracy? So that's something that we wanted to discuss.
Yeah, and so since you mentioned that we're in Germany, we're in Berlin, I forgot to mention where we are specifically in Berlin. We're at Zaher's pub, I guess, or bar. Yeah, it's amazing. Beautiful space. We're outside.
It's green.
Enjoying the night. It's like 20 degrees out here. So yeah, like Neo said, you know, there's democratic socialism in the United States, you know, and it's just sort of, I guess, you said it's off-putting, but it's also just, I mean, it's maybe even more than that. It's like, it sort of works against itself in
right.
a way.
Right, I just,
you know?
I don't understand why it, the social part of the term is at the end.
Yeah.
Because it's just... It has a connotation with socialism, and I think for a lot of young people, that doesn't mean anything because I've never lived in any type of socialism, or I mean, not that we've lived in socialism, but like we grew up in the Cold War.
Yeah.
I mean, that's another thing. So, like, I mean, I think for like millennials and younger generations, I don't really think that they understand what this really means to a lot of people.
Mm.
I mean, and I think that's just, it's not just in the U.S. I think you also have that, you know, here in Europe. And I know I was talking about this with, like, a classmate of mine. She's from the Ukraine, and she's quite young. She's a millennial. So she never grew up in socialism, but her parents did.
Yeah, and her parents probably grew up in the Soviet.
Right, and so she just was talking about how... You know, like for her, it's still a very negative connotation, even though she never lived in it, because obviously it changed. It's part of her culture. It's changed. Like her mother tells her stories about, you know, what happened to her and her own family. So, I mean, I think in the U.S., we just, at least for like younger generations, they don't have any real like connection to that in any manner. And I mean, like, yesterday was the New York primaries, for instance.
I just saw the results
right,
this
and
morning.
I woke up, I was really excited, I was really enthusiastic, and I was bummed. I mean, I have to be honest, I was bummed. But I wasn't surprised, but I was bummed.
Mm.
But I guess part of my... And then I started to think, like, maybe this is part of the point. Like, if we just change it up, say, social democrats, that... Perhaps people might be more receptive to the idea or the notion.
Mm.
I mean, it's not like we're asked. I don't think that this party is asking for...
The Democratic Party.
Or social Democrats.
The social... Yeah.
I mean, it's still democracy.
Yeah.
And whereas socialism, I mean, wasn't a democracy. So that's why I don't understand the terminology.
Yeah.
You know?
I've heard it argued before, and I will have a guest on who is probably more of an actual socialist and a communist at some point. But I've heard it argued before that to say democratic socialism is an oxymoron. But you know, I really don't think that that's true, because socialism, to date, up to this point, has been, you know, sort of an authoritarian sort of state-controlled everything, basically, whereas democracy is more known as being about individual liberty and all that stuff. So all this stuff, it gets very, very confusing, and that's the whole point of this show. So you have social democracy, you have socialism, and now you have democratic socialism.
Right.
And all these things... You know, especially the democratic socialism, I think, is getting a sort of a raw deal,
right?
Because of the socialism,
right?
Because of the history of socialism.
But I mean, if you break down, if you compare the two terms, just socialism and then democratic, let's just break down socialism.
Well, I'm sorry, and I made a mistake. They're not an oxymoron. That it's redundant. That democratic socialism is redundant.
Right.
I totally misspoke there. Sorry about
that. We all get the gist,
you know? So, well, it's a very different thing. It's like oxymoron is like contradiction.
You explained it correctly.
Yeah. So democratic socialism, that it's like redundant, that socialism is a democracy.
Right.
But obviously...
That's what I mean. As a political system, it's not representative.
Socialism.
Right.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
And whereas, let's say, a social democracy... People get to vote, and it's a democratic system. So those are, I mean, just as political systems, they're completely different.
Yeah.
And then if you look at, like, as an economic system, in socialism, the state controls the means of production. And in a social democracy, let's just say, like, I don't know, any Scandinavian state or country, you have, it's still a capitalist system. So, I mean, these politicians in the U.S. are not trying to change the political system so that it becomes a socialist state. I mean,
right?
They don't want to keep capitalism.
Yeah, they're not advocating for a this sort of authoritarian.
Right. I mean, there's still the market will still control things, you know. But I think the point of the point to it, the social part to the democracy, is that the state should then provide people with some type of like social goods, like public goods, healthcare, and like, you know, basic goods that we need to live, education,
public parks,
yeah, things like that, like public goods.
Yeah,
I mean, it's not like it's not reinventing the wheel, because it exists in other Western democratic countries.
Yeah,
so it's all another thing too. Like, I don't get the whole hoopla being so afraid. I'm like, well, it exists.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, so I think that's really important. So I wish that at least people within the DSA would really make this clear, like, immediately.
Yeah.
Because I think it's important when you're going out to, I don't know, like a rally in Iowa, to tell this to people. Because if they're coming in with their idea of what socialism is, and then you just tag in like a little democratic, you know, in front of it, it doesn't mean anything. They just hear socialism, and they fucking freak out. You know what I mean?
I think so.
So, and is that useful? Because, I mean, at this moment now, like, we want change. I mean, people want change. And everybody wants change. You can see that from different sides. People want something new. And that would be new in the United States. But I think it's something that many people across lines and political like spectrums would actually be into, you know.
Well, I think they are. I think
it's like progressivism.
Yeah. Going back real quick to what you said about, you know, socialist, the former socialist or current modern day socialist countries. You know, they have so-called the people or the state has control over the means of production.
Right.
I went to this DDR or GDR, whichever language you're looking at it from, museum in Prenzlauer Berg.
Yeah.
And it was a great museum. We went there with Ira and Christine and my brother Dave. And actually, you know, which is interesting, you know, I guess according to Marx and Marxism and all that stuff, you know, the whole thing about the about socialism is that, yeah, the people take control of the means of production,
right?
But in the
don't.
Soviet times, it was definitely they were not. It was the state,
right?
And on top of that, the state had control, like massive control over your daily life, like what kind of parties you go to, basically.
Well, what you were watching, what you were doing, your entertainment, the music you listened
or
to.
It's not even in
the
like
food
a,
you ate.
Yeah, maybe that too, but it was more like the associations you would make with other people, like with your community. It's like you must be a part of the community.
Right.
You must associate with
these associations that were forced. Like you had to, everyone had to be a member of them.
Yeah, and it's like everybody had to be a part of the same kind of like after school program or whatever. It's like it was just like the daily life was like.
But I think that was also done so that your neighbors could keep tabs on, like, people
probably,
keep tabs on one another.
Yeah.
So you never knew who was like who would report you for doing something.
Yeah, and of course, in this museum, there was definitely mention of all these like reports and stuff. But what really made me, what you know, blew my mind was how much the government wanted to take over your life, basically.
Right.
And
right.
Whether and I'm not even making a judgment about that. I'm just saying it's like even if they made your life better, that's fine, or whatever. But you don't have the choice, you know.
And I think that's what scares people.
That is, I think,
and
so, especially Americans.
Yeah, that's what scares Americans, and it's that, and exactly what you described is what comes up into people's minds.
Yeah, this crazy like controlled, uniform way of life that. Yeah, it's just in some way, you know, and I don't want to make too many judgments because it's so easy to, you know, go down that path. It just seems like, you know, that's just not what Americans want, or that's just not the way they are.
I think that's what they want.
So socialism, social democracy, democratic socialism, it's all very confusing.
Another interesting point, I mean, we're talking about the U.S., and this movement, democratic socialist movement. I was a Freudian slip.
Yeah.
What's interesting is that there's been a huge decline in membership in the Social Democratic Party or the parties throughout Europe.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I mean, like a huge decline. I think it started in Greece, and you see it here in Germany. You saw the last elections, I think. Mm. That the SDP, the Social Democratic Party, I think they received only 20% of the vote.
Mm.
I mean, and the AfD got like 13%.
In the whole country?
I think it was
the AfD is the sort of the
Alternative for Deutschland.
Yeah. Alternative for Germany. And they
look them up. Just Google them.
Yeah. This stuff is probably like very foreign to any of the American listeners out there, but they're like sort of like
far right.
Far right. Okay. I was going to say, you know, the right wing, but I guess it's the far right because there's probably other right-wing parties
right
that
wing.
Are not
just
as...
Right, yeah, yeah.
But they are far right. They're not... I mean...
But again, that's... We're talking about this, like, the axis.
Yeah, the axis, the political
right
spectrum.
Left.
The axis, yeah, exactly.
And what does that mean? Because it's always changing. When you were saying something about, like, somebody might label you as being left or, you know, label me as being left. And what does that mean? And also, where?
Which country?
In what country?
Yeah, exactly.
Because it's really... relative. You know, like, I think in the United States, I probably would be quite left. Because I think that the axis is actually to the right. Like, we've moved... Because I think about it... Think about presidents.
Yeah, I see what you're saying.
So, like, think about... Like, Bill Clinton, for instance.
Yeah.
Was a Democratic president. And I think that today... I mean, he would be, I think that he would be a center right in my mind. I mean, granted, I've been living in Germany for a while.
Right.
To me, he's a center right politician today.
That's
I don't
fair,
think
I
that,
say.
You know, 20 years ago, that would be the case. I think that the country maybe has moved right. You know, that's like an interesting point where people say that they're right or left. And I'm like, but, and then I'm like, what does that mean?
Yeah.
Like,
I think a lot of people confuse, or at least I do, or at least in the conversations that I have, when people say left, they think about minority groups. They think about so-called liberal people or bleeding heart liberals, you know.
That's an American context.
Yeah,
liberals.
And here in Europe, liberalism is more like laissez-faire. Mm-hmm. We would call it, I guess, in the States. It's like basically Republican, in some way. So, I think that just to keep it easy, when on this podcast, if we say liberal, we're talking about the American liberal, not the European. Which, I mean, it's that's another thing.
That's
one of the things. The main thing about this podcast is to take all these words and like try to work through them and like try to get some kind of clarity
to lay them out and see
to
where
lay
they
them out
are.
Exactly. Yeah. And so, in future episodes, you know, we would possibly talk about liberalism and what that means here in Europe and what it means in the States and like all the different things that are associated with it. But just to keep, you know, on this topic of socialism for this episode, let's say left and right. I mean, most people, when they think about socialism in the States, mm-hmm. I guess, I would actually think that in some way they think of it as being sort of a right-wing thing. Because if you think of right-wing as being like you know, authoritarian.
But I don't know now. If you say
state control.
I mean,
like that's the confusing
so
part
weird.
Too. Yeah,
you're making me so confused.
Yeah, that's okay.
No,
I'm already confused. I was confused before we even started recording.
But the thing is, at this, what I don't understand is okay. Let's say people who identify as right wing, or let's say not right wing, but like libertarians, for instance. Let's use them because that's
okay.
At least something we
I
can
love
grasp.
I love talking about libertarians.
Libertarians. To me, that is the antithesis of socialist, because they don't want any government interference. And in a socialist state, the government is all up in your business. So to me, those are like easier, those are like polar opposites.
Okay. So, yeah, that's a good, it's good that you mentioned libertarians, because, yeah, they're like hands-off government.
Right,
you know.
We don't want you interfering in our affairs.
Yeah.
Like, you're just here to like have our country, we want a passport, and we want,
yeah.
I don't know, services, barely any services.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what they claim.
That's what they claim. That's the thing. That's a lot of these are just claims, right?
I want my right to bear arms, and I want my services. I want my Social Security
and my highways.
I want my infrastructure.
And my oil.
I want my public works projects. I want, and that's it.
Mount Rushmore.
Right. I want.
They
that.
Definitely want Mount Rushmore. I don't know
but
what
I'm like,
that has to do with
this.
This
is all socialist. I mean, it's still at the if the government's doing anything for you, in any manner, if they're building a road, they're paving a road, they're building a park, that's all socialism.
Is it? Because
yeah, because it's like.
I
heard
a lot of...
It's a public good.
Yeah.
These are like public goods.
Okay. I mean, that's definitely the way I see it.
Not every country is giving people these public goods.
Yeah, for sure. For sure not. I mean, that's the way I have always conceived of socialism. I mean, I've also known, you know, for quite a long time that socialism is sort of this Marxist idea of, you know, the public ownership of the means of production and all that stuff, all that economic stuff, right? But mostly, if I had ever called myself a socialist, it was not because of that. It was because of what you just said.
But I mean, it's socialist. I mean, again, it's about semantics. Like,
yeah,
I'm not
well,
talking about socialism in the in terms of like Marxist socialism.
But
it's social. It's
yeah,
social. Like
yeah,
at the end of the day, socialism, like the root word, is social.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And it's for everybody. It's for us. It's for you and me. And so the park, so you can take your kid to the park and I can go and ride my bike. Like, that's so that we can all be so...
We don't
all,
have to pay to get in.
As a society, we can just all, you know, like, do things that's for the greater good of society.
We all own the park.
Right.
We all can go there whenever we want.
So, and we pay taxes,
yeah,
so, like, you know, we all own the park.
Yeah, and that's I totally get that, and that's the way I've always seen it. But like, obviously, now we've come to this point in modern politics,
mm-hmm,
where this word is actually being used as a
it's like
name
weaponized
of a party. Or yeah,
or,
I mean, it's
yeah,
always been weaponized. I mean, the Red Scares and
yeah,
McCarthy.
Yeah, it's always
McCarthyism.
Weaponized. Good point.
But now we have this party that's called the Democratic Socialists of America. And this word has now just, now I just feel like now is the time to really like figure it out. And
yeah,
and yeah, I definitely have always thought socialism as being like these public works and public goods,
mm-hmm,
and stuff. But we do have to face the fact that for most of the world, and for a lot of Americans even, the word socialism is basically, you know, Rocky IV.
Yeah, oh God, I love it. No, it's so bad, it's good. I don't even want to go down that road, but
it's all right. We have Balboa and Creed now, so we can talk about that stuff.
I did a project Balboa? On that in college,
on
Rocky IV.
Rocky IV,
and I actually got an apartment because of this. Yeah,
well, you have to tell that story now. Now you have
well,
to.
Well,
we
wanted to live in an apartment. We were in a little like liberal arts school where we were living in dorms.
This was in the States or?
Yeah, it was in Connecticut.
Oh, Connecticut. Oh.
And my friend, Jessica, she was studying abroad in Sweden, social democratic state, by the way.
But free market.
Exactly. And she was like, Neil, just apply for this. Like, we need to get off, like, we need to get off campus. Like, I can't live with anybody anymore. So I wrote the proposal, because the idea behind living in this, it's a house, but it's apartments in a house. And you have to come up with an idea, and you have to hold, like, extracurricular, like meetings throughout the year.
It's like an application.
Right, and you have to apply, but you have to come up with an idea. So the idea was, it was like, shit, what was it? It was something about, like, society through mass media or something like that. Forgot the name of it. But anyway, we actually had one event where we were screening Rocky IV because of this capitalism versus, like, it was Cold War.
Yeah.
Basically, the topic was Cold War. And we wanted to bring people to by watching Rocky IV because I think it's such propaganda.
I mean, for sure.
So we were like, let's discuss.
I must break you.
Drago. Oh, I love that movie. Anyway.
It's fun. It's fun.
And what's his name?
Dolph Lundgren.
He's from what, Denmark or something?
He is Swedish.
He's Scandinavian.
He is definitely Scandinavian.
So there you go. Social democracy. Yeah. So, it's all coming together.
Yeah. But yeah, for sure, libertarians are what you would say are like the opposite of social democrats. I mean, democratic socialists.
What's so confusing.
It's So I mean, as you can see, just from listening to us talk, and maybe it's because we're here in Europe and we've heard this term over and over, social democracy, more than democratic socialist.
Right, yeah.
You know, it really does speak to the fact that, you know, we as two Americans look at democratic socialism as being social democracy. And I think that, you know, we could say now, right now on this podcast, and kind of solidify this and like almost even define it, is that the American idea of democratic socialism really just truly is what we call social democracy.
Yeah.
And it's democracy, it's a free market, and
it's still capitalism.
It's still capitalism, but it's, you know, more the government working for the people, which honestly is something that I always thought the government should do, basically when I was like 5 years old. You know, until I became like, you know, a sentient human being, I was like, wait a minute, why does the government suck so bad?
Yeah.
Why are they starting wars everywhere? Or at least our government is. But yeah, it's almost like we're going back to like what I thought of as being a democracy.
Mm-hmm.
So social democracy to me is honestly
your idea of what a democracy should be.
Exactly. Boom. And I think with that, we can take a break. I have to refresh my drink, and
I think
Neo also has to. So we shall be right back with the second half of the segment of Voices from the Dark, the Spectrum number one. We should talk about that.
Brought to you by Gin and Tonics.
Yes. So we have, hang on, let me fix that for you.
Oh, okay, thanks.
I have to tighten that with a screwdriver. So, yeah, gin and tonics. You should definitely keep the gin and tonics around the house. We're not drinking gin and tonics,
but somebody
over here is drinking gin and tonics.
And it looked nice.
It looked great. So we are definitely recording. I see the red light. It's on. Last episode, I made a huge mistake, and I had me and Evgeny had like an amazing 10-minute conversation,
and it was not recorded. Shit.
So. So we're back from the break, and we were talking a little bit on the break. We saved it for you guys. We were talking about libertarianism again, and basically, like, you know, in a sort of reduced sense, like, libertarianism is not a bad idea.
No.
It's sort of a, I guess we were talking about,
it's like a good starting point.
Yeah.
Like, if you don't want the government to control your life. And control, like you said, like your daily life, and I mean, I don't want that.
Oops.
Speak of the devil.
That was actually Evgeny. Funny.
I see nothing wrong with that. So like, I don't judge people because of, you know, I'm a libertarian. I mean, that's okay, cool. Like, but tell me more. Like, what? Like, what does that mean, and what do you stand for? Like, what are your values in that? Like, what does that mean to you? I guess the issue I have is that it seems like it's everybody has their own personal, like, definition of what that means.
Of libertarianism?
Yeah, I mean, I guess, yeah. Like, what does that mean?
I mean, for sure, they claim...
Collectively.
I think they claim that it's just limited government and that you have a lot of personal liberties and stuff. But it really doesn't hold up to scrutiny when you look at, like, what kind of politicians they support. And, you know, I think we're treading, like, sort of close to, like, the whole territory that we're sort of trying to avoid. But I think it's relevant because... So, libertarianism is fine, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I think social democracy is fine.
Yeah.
But for some reason, you know, there's a lot of, like, conservatives or, let's say, fiscal conservatives, like libertarians,
mm-hmm.
Who just look at social programs and social works or good...
As an inherent bad.
Yeah, just because it's spending money. You know, and it's like...
But you want a road, right? You want a road that's
exactly.
going to take you from point A to point B.
And you want a fire department.
Right.
And they definitely want police.
Yeah, you want police, you want...
I mean, they do. I don't.
No, but I'm just saying people want public safety. They want, like,
public
services.
Sure, yeah.
And, you know, I mean, what's the line, I guess? What's the line where the government's no longer responsible?
Yeah.
That's what I've never heard anyone articulate that clearly.
Well, let's try to do it.
But,
let's try to do it
I
right
mean,
now.
I mean, like, I'm not a libertarian.
I see what you're saying.
No, I mean, I don't know.
You mean
know,
like a libertarian yeah.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing. I don't know what... I mean, I don't think it's for me and you, just solely for us to decide. I think the whole idea is for society to decide what it wants. Like, and that's something that, I mean, I don't know how we do that. I mean, obviously that sounds like a new constitution. I'm not saying that. But I mean, like, what do you do?
It's not a bad idea.
It's not a bad idea either. I mean, I don't know.
Well, I think that, so since we're talking about social democracy, actually, you know, what that means is that you have a government for sure, and that this government provides benefits to the people.
But what benefits?
Yeah, and so, well, let's look at how a libertarian would look at it, right? So you have a social democracy, and the government is providing, let's say, XYZ benefits, and you have this libertarian who comes along, and he's like, okay, I live in this country, and the government is a social democratic government, and I think that as a libertarian, they're spending too much money. Or they're doing too many things. And then you would have to ask them, like, what do you mean? Why do you think, what specific things do you think are being, you know, are, why do you think,
like,
how do I phrase it?
You mean, like, what is being what is the government overspending on?
Exactly.
Or, well, the thing about it is, okay, if I'm going to use Scandinavia as an example, because I think that those are, like, the ideal or the idealized social democratic states, and I don't want to just talk about utopian worlds because
they're definitely not utopias.
Useless. No, but they're not utopias. But like they're like real places.
Yeah,
I mean the idea behind that social democratic state in Scandinavia is to provide people with universal rights, so that like nobody is different. So even if you're rich or poor, you get the same access to the same doctors. So. Like the members of the parliament in Sweden have access to the same doctors as people who drive taxi cabs, and they have access to and their kids go to the same schools, so everyone gets.
And when you say access, you don't mean the American version.
No, I mean
access.
Everybody. Like you go.
You
to
can
the same
go
doctor.
To the same doctor.
You
yeah.
actually met a taxi driver in this is actually in Denmark in Copenhagen, who was visiting his. Brother, they were originally from, I think, Pakistan. I was flying back to the U.S. and our plane never made it out of Copenhagen. So then we stayed overnight, and so I was talking to him, and his brother is also a taxi driver, but in Denmark. And this guy that I met was a taxi driver in New York, and he was like, oh, his family has it, like, made, like their life is much better than mine. And I think it's interesting because, A, they're brothers, B, they have the same job. So it's, like, something that you can really compare. Yeah. You can compare. Yeah, so he was just telling me about, like, all the different services they get and then comparing it to, like, his precarious life as a taxi driver in New York. So the idea behind this welfare, social welfare, social democratic state, is that everybody gets the same access. It's not that certain people do. And I think that's the issue that we have in places like the United States and maybe in the UK, is that you have, like, means-tested programs. Like, you need to show me that you don't have enough money so that the government will give you funds.
Oh, and that's so true.
That, like, creates, like, a stigma.
Yes. Actually, I totally forgot about that. Yeah, that's actually one of the huge problems with the so-called welfare in well, at least in New York.
Yeah, and it's, like, it's there's a stigma. And then, like, and the thing is, like, people are stigmatized by, for being on welfare, for having, like, social assistance. But, like, in a place like Sweden, everybody has, everyone has welfare.
Yeah.
It's not, so if everyone has it, you can't make fun of people. Yeah. You can't make fun of people because, like, you all get benefits.
Yeah.
Like, you all have access to, like, kindergartens and, you know, like, health care. And that's regardless of whether or not you're working or not. So, like, everybody has access to it.
And that's sort of different than what we have here in Germany,
and
right?
I think,
because we have
to pay outright. Right. It's totally different. I mean, there's still a...
But somehow they pay taxes over there as well, obviously.
Yeah, they pay taxes. And, I mean, if you are rich, you pay more money. You pay more taxes.
Yeah. I mean, that's true most places, except for the States, I feel. I mean,
I mean, you pay more taxes here too, but, like, it's, but everybody gets but everybody gets the same benefits. It's not the same here, where there's still a, there's still, like, a fragmentation here in Germany. So, like, the civil service class, like, people who work as civil servants, are kind of their own special class. They get, like, privileges. And then now you have, like, now I don't want to go down this tunnel of, like, German-specific stuff, but, like, Hartz IV, you know Hartz IV?
Oh, yeah, it's, like, unemployment. No.
Right. It's, no, it's not unemployment. It's like welfare.
It's welfare. Yeah,
it's like,
yeah.
It's like American welfare.
Yeah.
So that was implemented by the Democrats, by the Social Democrats in Germany, which I actually think was disastrous for the future of the, for the party, like, in the future, down the road. Where then you have these, like, it implements these social stigmas, which I think are still very powerful today. So people, you know, there's still a lot of discussion about, like, assisted social assistance. If you turn on the TV here in Germany, and, like, there's always a round table of people talking about whether it's integration or, like, so Hartz IV, like, so, like, welfare, like, what do we do about these issues? And it's still, like, a me versus them type of debate. But, I mean, I'm not acting like Scandinavia some dream, because they have their own issues.
Yeah, for sure.
And that's changed. A lot of what we're talking about has changed over time. But, like, the idea and behind it is that everybody gets the the same benefits.
Yeah.
So then you don't have the stigma. So, like, what is there to complain about?
Yeah. And, yeah, I think that libertarians, as the way that we're kind of, like, classifying them as being the sort of anti-social democrat, is that they don't really have a clear way of looking at the spending. So it's like, for sure, they're supporting the police and they're supporting the sort of, like, military.
Or, like, military. I was going to say, like, what about defense spending?
Yeah. And I think that a lot of that stuff is extremely wasteful. But why is that not socialism?
And a huge portion of our GDP goes to defense.
Yeah. And I feel like a lot of that stuff is some sort of socialist thing, you know? It's like military. I mean, the biggest socialist state of all time, I guess aside from China, was the USSR. And they arguably had the second biggest military program
in the world,
during the Cold War. Unless I'm totally misunderstanding the Cold War, because I thought that they were, like,
wrong.
No. you know, if you see Rocky IV, I mean, that's obviously what they're saying, you know? It's like socialism versus democracy. It's like Russia versus the U.S. You know, they both were the...
big spenders, big defense spenders.
Big defense spenders, exactly. So it's almost laughable, you know, that... yeah, it's like that socialism is looked at as being... or socialism. Well, yeah, why not? Socialism or, in our terms, social democracy.
But we're a democracy. We spend tons of money. I mean, I'm saying both sides, at least during the Cold War, spent tons of money on
without a doubt.
On you could say social spending. Because
right.
If it's still, like, for the people, whether it's, like, in the name of defense, it's still social, right?
Exactly, yeah. Just point this a little bit closer to your face. Yeah, so it's like it's almost laughable that, you know, these two huge superpowers, one was socialist, one was so-called democracy. They're both spending huge amounts of money on war, or in defense, as they call it nowadays. And
it's fancy.
You know, what's the difference, really? It's like, I think that there's not so much more to say about libertarianism. I think that it's just a good sort of mirror or lens to look at socialism.
I mean, I always feel, at least from my own personal perspective, I feel like I want to know more, or there should be more. Like, there has to be more to it. And to libertarianism.
Yeah.
Like, I would be curious to talk to people who identified as libertarians, and then like see what happens to them, like, I don't know, 10, 20 years later. Because I am not sure if that's like a place where people stay. Also because, like, we don't have third parties, so that's another thing.
That's true.
So then, like, where do they go?
Yeah, that's a very good question. And I think I know the answer. I think they go to the Republican Party. I think they generally vote Republican.
I mean, yes, but I mean, I wonder about people who don't.
The ones who don't vote.
Who don't go move to the, like, they don't, well, I can't say right, because I'm not talking about directions, but like if they go to the Democrats, like, where do they, like, how do they get there? On, like, what grounds? I just think it's difficult in the United States because you have to juggle with everyone, as a, let's say, living in a democracy, has to juggle with a mixture of values and beliefs and attitudes. But usually, I mean, not usually, but like in many other democratic societies, they have more than two options.
Yes.
You know, and so, like, you can find a party. There's even an animal rights party here in Germany. Mm. You know, like, you can find an option for yourself.
Yeah.
And you don't need to necessarily win a majority. You can have like 5%.
And still be
part of the government. And then have a say and make a coalition and still have some type of power. But in the United States, we don't have those options.
Yeah, it's like,
we have a plethora.
Winner takes all.
Right. We have like so many emotions. It's like a plethora of like values and beliefs and attitudes and ideas. But then we have two options. Like, and that's all we have.
Yeah.
And I think that's like, I think that's actually the cause of a lot of our strife.
For sure.
Is that we just, that we only have two options.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, so I guess we can talk a little bit about the elections that just kind of happened. I'm going to admit something, which is not a huge deal.
I know what you're going to say.
Yeah, I didn't vote. But that's because I'm not part of any...
Also...
I'm not part of any...
your vote doesn't count. No, it really doesn't. As an outside of America, it doesn't...
What?
They're not counting our asses.
What? Even if you're voting as a New Yorker?
They're not counting us.
Are you kidding me?
They're not counting us.
I mean, they sent me the thing in the mail.
I know, but we're like the last people they count.
But they sent me something about the Reform Party or something, and I'm like, I'm not even in the Reform Party. I guess it's an open primary. I don't know.
It's bullshit. It's bullshit.
I don't know. I voted in the 2016 election, obviously.
Yeah.
I hope you did, too.
Yes, I did.
I mean, I feel like that counted.
Oh, God.
But the thing is that in.
But it didn't count.
The,
what do you mean? It didn't. I mean, it didn't count.
No, I mean obviously.
Of the system,
no,
it didn't count.
I mean it counted like morally. Morally, it counted.
I know,
obviously,
but at some point,
in the
people
numbers,
are not dumb. So if things don't count, if they don't count.
If they don't actually count.
If they don't actually count, yeah. What's the point of the morality?
Yeah, yeah, I get that.
And then I think on a collective, in a collective manner, that has huge consequences.
It keeps
I'm going to hold it then.
Shrinking down.
Collectively, it has huge consequences because if I stop voting, let's just say I stop voting because I know that I, even though I'm not a resident of New York State anymore, but that's the last place that I was a resident of.
But you still get you still vote.
I get New York.
Yeah, still vote
which
through
I
New York.
Just
yeah.
I don't even think that makes sense. I think that's kind of problematic. But
yeah,
because I'm like I should just go back to the United States, move to Florida, put like my residency there, and then like come back.
Because
you know,
it's
like
a red
pay
state.
My like bill, like yeah, pay my utility bill in Florida, and then like
yeah,
move back
no,
here.
I get that. Actually, I thought
you
about
know what
that
I mean. Because
yeah.
Then it would count.
Then yeah.
But
I see what you're saying.
You see my point.
Yeah, I see what you're saying. Because as a New Yorker,
because then it would matter. Because yeah. It would count. It would matter in a national election.
Yeah.
But if you know that your vote doesn't count, and you do this over and over again, it has an impact on you.
Like on you personally, like.
Well, not personally, but like well, yes, personally. And then maybe you decide, you know what? Fuck it. I'm not gonna vote this time, or. I don't like the candidates, i.e. 2016, basically what so many people said, like, I don't like the candidates, and then I'm not going to vote. And then collectively, that has huge consequences.
Yeah.
So, like, you can't tell me that our system isn't flawed.
No, it's definitely
I don't
flawed,
think that people are disillusioned by, like, I don't, they're disillusioned by the system
yeah.
That doesn't give them real options.
Definitely, yeah, definitely. I mean, ever since my...
Even libertarians don't
yeah,
have
no,
vote.
100%. Yeah, I mean, I was just about to say, like, in my the first time that I could vote, being in, like, an uneducated voter, I was, like, 18 or
yeah,
whatever.
Yeah, was it...
Or 17 or 18
what year
or whatever.
Was that? That was, like, 1996.
It was Clinton.
Yeah, Clinton.
I voted for fucking Clinton.
Yeah, me too. Did I vote for him or did I vote for...
For the other... Bush?
No, I think I...
Who
I,
was it?
I was
I don't even
so
remember who it was.
Morally...
It
I
was
think
George
I,
Bush
I think,
the first.
No, was it also like a Nader? Like no.
Oh yeah, no, there was a Nader. Yeah, Ira voted for Nader.
I
100%
think I voted
sure
for Nader.
Voted for, oh, you did.
Yeah, I voted for Nader.
Woo!
Yeah, I voted Nader. Yeah,
that's all right. That's cool.
Nader. I'm
that's,
proud.
That's respectable.
I mean, I can do whatever I want to do as a voter.
Yeah, of
you
course.
Know?
You can also not vote.
I
some places you have to vote.
Yes, like Belgium,
like,
you have to vote.
I think Argentina, it's also mandatory.
The thing is, I don't like to shame people for not voting. I don't think it's useful. I don't know.
Yeah.
I know you're
I,
like, I don't think it's useful for a dialogue because, like, ask them why they didn't vote.
Yeah,
and then you get real answers.
You do. That's
you
true.
Know? And maybe it's about the system
yeah.
that needs some fixing.
Yeah. I mean, if you look at the recent... I mean, I wasn't following the elections, these so-called midterm elections. But, like, I looked at the results, as we said before, you also looked at them.
Shite.
But, I mean, I think you said you were a little, like, disappointed. But from the way I see it, it's like there were a lot of wins on the progressive side nationwide.
No, I'm talking about New York, though.
Yeah, no, in New York, it was a shit show. I mean, it was not a shit show. It was more
but
like...
But it's Democratic.
Yeah. It's,
machine.
I mean,
it's a Democratic machine.
Cuomo is just...
It's
he's a
corrupt.
Dynasty. It's a dynasty.
Yeah, but the Democratic machine is corrupt.
Yeah, yeah.
In New York State.
Yeah, without a doubt.
Period.
I mean, I'm not like that in tune with it myself, but like I know the governors are just like, I mean, this guy is this, you know, he's a dynasty.
It's
he's like
nepotism.
A Bush. Yeah. It's like Bush.
I'm so tired of that.
Yeah. I mean, I was really hoping that, you know, things would change, but you know what? Now that Cuomo is the guy, I guess Democrats have to kind of like, go with that, right?
Well, I mean,
like in
I
terms
don't
of like,
no,
because
I know.
There's going to be another
yeah,
election,
yeah, a general
right?
election,
yeah, and so they're going to have to vote for him, right?
That did that work out for Hillary
I
Clinton
no
in 2016?
I have no idea.
So
but that's the
it
thing.
Doesn't
that's
mean
a, that's why. No, I know that. It, no,
no
actually,
that,
I
mean,
do
you
have
know,
an idea.
You know what
it
happened?
It did not work out for her. It did not work out for her. But what I'm trying to say is that I feel like a lot of people who were voting for Bernie to be the candidate, the Democratic candidate.
Didn't vote.
They didn't vote for her.
Or they voted for Trump.
That is even worse. No, I don't even want to think about that.
But that's what I mean.
That's disgusting.
But what I'm saying, this is why I think this two-party system is flawed, because if we had different parties, you could unite people on both sides.
Without a doubt.
There are a lot of people on both sides who actually have the same, like, you know, agree on a lot of the same issues.
Yeah, there's a lot of crossover.
Right. So, like, what does that mean? That our parties have an image problem. That's one thing.
Without a
also,
doubt.
Also, we only have two parties.
Yeah. I mean, this goes into basically the main idea of this specific episode, you know, this whole, you know, what is socialism?
Yes,
you know, it's
yes,
like,
yes,
what,
yes.
What is... So when you have a guy like Cuomo and then someone like Cynthia Nixon, it's like one calls himself, like, I guess, a regular Democrat,
yeah,
which is would
an
be
establishment
weird.
Democrat,
an establishment
I'd
Democrat.
Say.
But do they call themselves
no, of
that?
No, course not, you know? But that's
and
what
then,
they are.
And then someone like Cynthia Nixon definitely calls herself like a, well, she's a challenger, right?
Right.
And she's a,
I would say,
a progressive,
progressive,
I guess.
But like kind of a social Democrat.
Right.
She was campaigning on social issues.
Yeah. And I she never referred to herself as a democratic socialist, right? Or did she?
I never heard her say that,
so.
But again, I wasn't paying attention. Yeah. I didn't watch
I feel like it's definitely not one of her things.
I think otherwise she would have... It would have been talked about at least. I would have seen it on the like, in a in like an article.
Because like
they would have gone after her. They
would
this actress, Hollywood actress, who's a socialist.
Without a doubt, they would. They call her. They call like Ocasio-Cortez a socialist.
Yeah, they would have gone after her. I think that she knew better because she's like, I'm an actress.
I think she was also trying to win.
She was like, I need to win. I'm trying to win.
Yeah.
I can't.
I mean,
do
she
this.
Got something like 35%,
which is still,
which is decent. But apparently, this Zephyr Teachout also got 35 back in.
But I heard about voter suppression, which is typical for New York's like New York State politics.
So it's like the reason why I bring up the elections. It's like, you know, in terms of this episode, what value do we get from like talking and labeling and saying like this person's left, this person's right, this person's progressive, this person is established.
People want to belong. I mean, I think we use labels for everything.
But what are we trying to belong to? It's like, do we want
a group?
To, yeah, but like a group that helps us or a group that's just like
but
pretty.
I guess what's interesting, if I hate to always bring it back to the European perspective,
that's
but
all right.
Looking at Germany. It's not uncommon for people to change parties, change who they vote for, what party they vote for in every parliamentary election. That's completely normal.
Do they have the same thing here where they sign up for a party?
No.
Oh, really?
And that's actually, the primary system is not democratic. It actually suppresses votes inherently. Because if, especially in a place like New York, that's why I'm saying New York is known for voter suppression. If you're an independent, you can't vote anywhere because there's no independent primary.
Yeah, or they sign you up for a random party.
But the Democratic primary is only open for Democrats.
Yeah, for registered Democrats.
Right, and other states have open primaries where anyone can go vote
for
any
that.
Candidate. Yeah. Why don't we have that in New York State? It's also an easy way to funnel your like chosen candidate or preferred candidate. So here you can vote with any party. You don't have to register with the party because again there's so many parties. Like I mean I don't know if there's so many people that are registered members of the Animal Rights Party but like you might let's say in one election vote for them. So it's not stigmatized to move around and like change your vote whenever you vote. And I don't understand why it is in the United States. Like, why is it such a tribal, it almost feels like a tribal like environment, this us against them, you know?
I definitely feel like in general terms in the States, I mean, whenever I hear someone who's like a Democrat.
Because it's two parties? Do you think it's because of the sheer number of parties?
I don't know. I just feel like there's sort of also even a cultural thing, because you're mentioning like tribal relations.
But it's only because of two. You know, like if you have two, whoever the other is, then the inherent opponent.
Yeah, I see what you're saying there. Yeah, and but in another sense, I just feel like I never, like, in terms of like identity or cultural, like, identity or whatever. It's like I just never felt like a Democrat or felt like a Republican, and when somebody tells me like they're a Democrat and like I'm a Democrat, I just look at them and like, I get all of these, I get all of these, like,
makes me laugh.
Connotations, you know, it's like, probably my face is what made you laugh. But
no,
it's
I mean, that and the, just the idea of being like proud.
Yeah. Yeah. But there's a thing like that, like, for sure, like in Massachusetts, right? They're
it's
like Democrats.
Now.
Yeah. 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 Not that I'm saying anything bad about Democrats or even Republicans, but it's like.
But I have an issue with the with this emotional attachment to parties.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. It's like
it's
emotional, cultural. Yeah, it's like,
because then it's like us versus them.
Yeah, yeah. That's where I'm going with this whole like tribal thing. It's like you're not an American, you're a Democrat, or you're not like from the town you're from, you're a fucking Democrat. I just don't.
And I think it also makes it difficult to hear another opinion. Like, again,
true.
I don't have to agree with you. But I should be able to listen to you. You know, if you're not attacking me or harming me, then I should be able to hear your side of the story, or like, you know, your viewpoint.
Yeah, I think that's a crucial idea.
But that's
is
gone
to be
now.
Able. Yeah, it's, well, it's definitely not popular.
that's
and
putting
I think,
it mildly.
And I think that we can sort of wrap up this episode with that idea. That, you know, one of the main ideas of this show is to not only to educate me personally, because I need it.
We all need it.
But and we all need it. And hopefully, you know, the people listening, you guys are here for that as well. We need to open our minds to, you know, really, you know, the ideas that are being put out and all these categories that we put ourselves into. Socialist, social democrat, left, right. And then something that we didn't really talk about much is like conservative versus the American liberal. Now, just to bring up again Cuomo and like these people, like these New York Democrats, in some way they are conservative. You know, they are holding on to these old party lines.
Very conservative.
And so I think that possibly for the next episode of The Spectrum... You know, that would be conservative
point.
Or, I mean, there's so many things that we touched on. I think that the main goal of the episode, we hit it, was that when Americans talk about democratic socialism, they're talking really talking about social democracy.
Yeah.
And, it's okay. When Americans are talking about democratic socialism, they're actually talking about social democracy. But then when Americans talk about conservatism, did I say that right? Conservatism?
Yeah.
And all these other like loaded terms, what do they really mean? And I feel like the next episode, which it would be awesome if you were also there for that. I don't know how much time you have. You're a very busy person. I know that. But for sure, I would like to explore this stuff. And I think that this episode really brought up a lot of things that we can talk about in other episodes. So,
yeah. Thank you for having me.
No, thank you
I
for
really
being here.
I enjoyed this talk.
Yeah, I'm very glad that you did, and thank you for being here. So, yeah.
Sayonara.
Bye-bye. Sayonara.